few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Physic Cloud.
And me, John Nemitz, the guy who introduces Scott Allwood.
Hey, what on me? I'm trying to get in on me. Here we are. This is me, the guy he just introduced.
Well, it would be rude if you didn't introduce the next guy.
I was about to, Vince. Give me a second. And we also have a nice fella by the name of Dave.
All right, that's me. I was a little worried there, but yeah.
And this is the show where we talk about our loves, our hates, and our indifferences. But before we do any of that, we start off with a segment where we talk about old topics, and it's called the Daisha Fuse. Take it away, Scott.
Well, thanks, Vince. I would like to talk about a past episode where you talked about sign language. Now, I've always wanted to know sign language, but never made any real effort to learn it. I know this one. That's for all the viewers. Little kisses.
Well, please explain to our listening audience what you just did to us.
I kissed the audience. I wasn't kissing you guys.
Yeah, but no one. Okay, oh my God. The listening audience, Scott. Remember, this is also a podcast on a website where they don't get the visuals.
The John who's hearing this in their ears right now.
I didn't realize that was even an option. That's fun. But yeah,
you should go to www.afewgoldilockbears.com for links to all the podcast apps.
And it's just audio from there?
Sure.
What? It's either no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, only video. If you guys want to see our beautiful faces, you got to go to YouTube, motherfuckers, and there you will see our great backgrounds. A leaf, houses, tie-dye, and a spare bedroom.
Even a ceiling fan.
Oh, a ceiling fan.
Yeah, ceiling fan.
Yeah, so if you're just listening, go to www.afewgoldilockbears.com for a link to the YouTube channel.
Oh my gosh. They have everything on this website.
Whoever designed it must be pretty handsome.
Well, you wouldn't know until you go on YouTube and then guess out of the four of us. Not by handsomeness, but by like who would have the power to put up such a website. All right. You know what? That's enough, Daisha Fuse. Should we get our show started?
Man, I'm already
Scott. Let's get to the episode, Scott. Come on.
No. I mean, anything else involving sign switch? Any follow-ups?
Can you teach me some right now? What does this mean? The little caterpillar?
What did you just describe to us? Again, the listeners.
Oh, yeah. I put my finger, my pointer finger out, and then moved it along the screen with my thumb jumping up and down a little bit. It sounds stupid, but if you watch the video, it's super cool. Oh, my God. Let's move on.
No. And before, when he said, "This is the sign I know," he basically placed his hands over his lips and blew kisses. Oh, did you?
So many times.
Oh my gosh. I didn't hear that.
It's because you're in that leaf.
Yeah, that's true.
Definitely in there.
Was that offensive what he did? Like, is that the equivalent of going up to your Asian friend and being like, "Hey, ching chong bing bong, what did I just say?"
Because of the sign language thing.
Yeah, you did a sign and you're like, "What does this mean?"
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring it up in the Deja Fuse or whatever you call it, because I hate sign language and whoever does it, I guess it would be mainly deaf people.
I have no... Okay, please explain what you did, though, when you were, like, the finger and then the thumb. Did. Were you shooting?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you if it means anything.
I've never seen that before. I just...
it's
gosh.
Not a sign. Maybe we can make it one of ours. Like, we can
make it
for our little Goldilocks gang. Guys?
I think it's like a move on to the next podcast.
Oh my gosh.
The next topic.
All right. Yeah, well, let's get started.
Fans out there, next time you see us on the street, make the sign. And for those of you listening, do your best job to imitate it based on the description of it.
God, let's get a topic started then. Who wants to go first? Any takers?
I'll go. And I want to talk about something that makes me so angry I shake. And it's the hate of mine that I would like to speak of. And it's shirtless sleeveless shirts. sleeveless shirts.
Shirtless sleeves.
There's some sleeves on the ground. You're like, what?
You guys want to know why I don't like them?
Would love to. I would love.
It doesn't feel comfortable. And it's stupid. You're welcome. Thoughts, guys?
Why is it stupid?
Dave, do you like sleeveless shirts?
No, I hate them. My arms get cold.
Yeah.
But... like what? Like not just shirtless or sleeveless shirts, but like vests. All vests. Terrible. It's like a coat with no sleeves. Like, what is this?
Oh my gosh. All right, it's starting to make sense. But what do you mean? You said it's stupid, Scott. Like, explain why it's stupid.
Explain why it's stupid. Because it's sleeveless and your arms are open to more mosquito bites.
Oh, my gosh.
That's my next week's hate.
Mosquito bites?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And sunburns?
Sunburns. Yeah. Also, thank you. I was about to mention that. I've got so many reasons why I hate sleeveless shirts. Dave's got my back. Vince, what do you love? Sleeveless shirt?
This was my take on it. I didn't think in terms of guys. I thought of girls. I love it when they wear, you know, girl shoulders.
Mm. All right, yeah, pervert, calm down. I'm talking personal level. Me versus a sleeveless shirt. No thanks, because I'll win. I'm going to...
Is that what that... Is that a glue gun or scissors? I have no idea.
A little bit of both.
It's an all-purpose tool. Does it bother you to see other people wearing them, or do you just not like them for yourself?
It's really just a personal thing. It's a personal preference. One of my buddies wears them all the time. Actually, he just wore them on our podcast. And actually, I'm quite mad about it. No, like this? Like, who wants to see this?
The guns. Well, that's one thing, though. I don't...
Like wife beaters. You know, the white shirts that are...
Ooh, we don't call them that anymore, Scott. Hashtag canceled.
White buddies.
White buddies. what is that actually called? An undershirt, right? Is that what it technically is?
An A-frame undershirt.
A-frame? Okay.
Heard that. I don't know if that makes sense or if that's right, but that's a term.
You heard it.
I would wear sleeveless shirts if I had the arms for it. You know, if I start lifting again, I'd probably do that. But then I'd feel like a big titted chick who wears low shirts all the time for no reason. I'm like, this isn't appropriate. You're at a funeral. You know what I mean?
So sleeveless shirt at a funeral. Oh my God. Hey guys, where's the dead bod?
Vests at like all these like tech bros and stuff. I'll wear these like Patagonia vests over like a long sleeve button shirt, and they're just like the dumbest things.
I feel like you'd look good in a vest. You could pull that off.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, can you like... go real quick so I can know for sure?
I think you should pull off that vest. It looks stupid. Okay. So everyone here, well, except for me, I'm not against it. I didn't realize there was so much hostility. John, have you said if you're pro or anti?
I'm indifferent. I can imagine on a hot day wanting to like roll up my sleeves and, you know, just let 3 more inches of skin feel the cool air.
As long as you put a carton of smokes in there, man.
Well, I was imagining too. My dad used to do that all the time.
Oh yeah. Menthol cigarettes might be banned soon. Just to throw that out there. I imagined as soon as I heard that, I was like, there's going to be a shitload of people who are going to go with through withdrawals, right? I mean, that's fucked up. Speaking of cigarettes.
My grandma is 79. She smoked cigarettes since she was 16. And she tried quitting once or twice. And she told me herself she turned into a huge bitch. And her husband, who has since passed, my grandpa, I guess. Was like, could you start smoking again? Like,
whoa. That's how
he got that. He was like, nah, you got, here's some cigarettes, smoke up. I'll be in the other room until you get better.
Boom. All right, well, next topic. Segment challenge, I mean.
Segway challenge.
Segway challenge, yeah. Let's feel the cool breeze of the next topic coming in.
Let's on cut our shoulders. This sleeveless conversation off. Just forget it.
Let's sleeve this conversation for another one.
I like
that. I'll segue from Scott's struggle to understand the relationship of his grandparents to each other. And go with my indifference, which is genealogy, or study of one's ancestors. So I've taken that up as a hobby recently. Kind of just by chance, someone sent my dad some information about like his ancestors, and he forwarded on to me, and that kind of like struck a chord with me. And I'm like, oh, I think it would actually be kind of cool to like learn where everybody came from in Europe and all that, and started doing research. And I love it because like it's like addictive, like finding information, puzzle solving. Actually, I was at the library, and they have like a librarian there whose job is to help people like learn about how to do genealogy and stuff. And she's like, it's a great hobby for people who love problem solving and proving other people wrong. I'm like, yeah, that fits very well. So like I've figured out like all of my great, great grandparents, who they are. And I think a set of great, great, greats. I've figured out like everyone who came over to America, sorry, Vince, and like mostly, and for the most part, like which boats they came over on, like the name of the ship and stuff, which is pretty cool. But then I've been mostly stuck since there. Like I found a couple of the names of the cities they were from. Turns out I'm a Pomeranian, which I had thought was only a dog until recently.
I was just gonna say, like, are you part dog? I don't understand.
But I always thought my family was German, and like my ancestors definitely spoke German, but the area where they came from is now part of Poland. So like Pomerania is like halfway in Germany, halfway in Poland.
So did you become indifferent to it because it was so exciting at first? That eventually you just weren't getting as much information. So now you're kind of like, oh, well, that was fun for a hot second, but now it's whatever.
Yeah. So the puzzle solving and stuff is really fun. But where the indifference comes in is I was like, okay, I'm kind of stuck here for now. Like I have some ideas I can try to like go back further, but you know, maybe I'll go the other way. Like, let's take my oldest ancestor I know of and try to trace all their descendants like going forward. So like, you know, who are all my like cousins and fourth cousins and, you know, everything I can track down. And so like I was like, well, you know, let's get on like Facebook and stuff and like see if we can find these people. And it turns out like I hate most of the people I'm related to. So that's where the indifference comes in. You know, like I shouldn't be surprised because, you know, I have very little in common with my like direct family and like have very differing political and religious opinions from them. But yeah, like all my family is like a bunch of them moved to like Wyoming and Montana and the Dakotas and Alaska, and like all have you know, like political beliefs of what you would expect for frontiers people. Is that a nice way to say it? Like the
you just
the,
listed off a bunch of places I would love to move to.
But the strongest example I have is like one of my second or third cousins married someone who was indicted for involvement in January 6th.
Oh yes, terrific.
I'm like, oh, I didn't need to know that kind of stuff.
So it's not necessarily the
like I'm seeking that person out. They're famous. Oh, it was on the TV.
So you're more proud of your past in terms of your ancestry than you are of the present state of the Nemets or Nemets.
I don't even know if like proud of it is right. It's just like fascinating to me because like, you know, now that I know a couple of the cities, like I totally want to go to Poland and like just like visit the place where they came from. And like, I guess there is some pride of Pomerania because they were one of the last parts of Europe to go Christian when like they stayed pagan while like everyone around them was like being taken over by Christianity. So I think that's kind of cool. But
whoa.
Other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, those little dogs, they don't like to be converted to anything. have you guys looked up your ancestry at all? 23andMe, that sort of shit. Is that kind of the same thing?
I did a ancestry. Ancestry.com. Yeah, like I was always told that like my dad's side was German and my mom's side was English. And then I did the ancestry.com and then it's like the number one thing it said I was Irish. And I was very disappointed in that because I don't really know many Irish people other than like the stereotypes of like leprechauns and
leprechauns.
Like Warwick Conor Davis? McGregor is a very famous Irish guy who's like just the worst personality in the world. I don't know. They're all just kind of drunk assholes. And I'm like, I don't want this to be me. But due to the inaccurate like DNA sequencing or the like the them needing to fine tune stuff, they like updated it like a couple years ago. And now my number one thing is I'm Scottish, which I mean, I think it's better than Irish, but I'm not really sure. I'm not really happy with that either.
That's what bothers me about it. How can they just, I don't know, they're like, yeah, we're so good at this, we're selling it, you're Irish, bud. 2 years later, turns out, fudged up, you're Scottish. It's completely different.
Yeah, and like, I haven't even done a DNA test because, one, I'm skeptical of them, and two, I'm paranoid about having my DNA out there.
Yeah, because of all the murders.
Exactly.
Ninth grade, my history teacher wanted us to do this assignment where they were like, hey, you know, ask your parents, ask whoever where you come from. And I asked my mom and I was like, do you know anything about, because I was living with her for this 6 months. And she was like, Kentucky? And I was like, okay, well, that was no good. I got an F, guys, on that paper because I write it, because all she told me is she thinks we're from Kentucky. What was that going to be my paper? I hate genealogy because of it.
Now's your chance to redeem your grade school self and
go figure out what I actually am.
Yeah, and then send it to your teacher and be like, how do you like me now?
Mic drop.
Well, let's see here. My mom she's always constantly reminding me that, oh, you, your cousin, son of this person's father of this person or whatever. It's a big thing. It's almost like, you know, in the medieval times, they're like, oh, here is Vincent, son of Foster, you know, Lord of the Rings sort of thing, you know? So that's kind of like how you're introduced or you speak about people. It's like son of that sort of thing. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know how far back we know about our ancestors. I could probably just hit up my mom for that information. She also gave me a book years ago because she was adopted by a white family called the Crows. And I always thought that was hilarious that, like, you know, a Native American or, you know, with a typical Native American last name is adopted by white people, but those white people are called the Crows. But what's so funny though, what I read the book and they spell their name C-R-O-W-E because back in the day, one of the Crows was a horse thief, like almost kind of famous horse thief. And they're like, oh, we want to disassociate with him. So we're going to add an E to our last name. So that's pretty crazy. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff too. And like, so I've been like looking through like census records and birth and marriage records and death, all this stuff. And I've seen like five different ways that like my last name was spelled. Like, not that they necessarily changed it that many times. It's just like whoever was writing it down didn't care enough to ask, like, how do you spell that?
Oh my God. That's funny. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, like I said, I grew up just hearing it, whether I wanted to or not. They're like, you know, if you see anyone new, even someone old, I'm like, I've met this person thousands of times. Like, yeah, but she was the daughter of, I'm like, okay, mom. Like, but that's fine. I'm sure I'll try and keep up that tradition somehow.
Yeah. And so far I've been mainly looking at my dad's side because I know people on my mom's side have already done a lot of the work, but I like just looking at, her grandma being of English lineage, like, I have no idea if this is accurate or not, but on one of the genealogy websites, someone has her as part of a family tree that goes back to like the 1200s, like in multiple branches, which is insane because, like, you know, I'm getting stuck in like the 1800s with people from Germany.
Holy shit. Doesn't it seem like the women are the more interested in conserving the past and stuff and remembering? It seems like dudes are just like, I don't care. I'm just going to live and die. You know what I mean? As long as you take my last name, that's what I'm going to contribute to the family. You know what I mean? I think women are more interested in like, hey, remember this and stuff like that. I don't know. That's how I view it.
I think, yeah. What's that, Scott?
Women just have better memories. Guys would listen. I would love to pass on whatever knowledge, but in one, out the other.
Yeah, I wouldn't remember anything if I wasn't documenting it. Like, oh yeah, my dad's name is, let me check.
Segway challenge?
Branch off of this tree. To a new topic.
I say Dave, go. Dave.
I am indifferent to like clothing I wear or fashion or styles in general. I'm just like, I don't care. And I never have about style. I don't know. I've never been a stylish person.
Your wife dress up? Then is it like a special, do you ever do it for like special occasions for her?
I am about like dressing up and like wearing like more formal clothes when necessary, like for like, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas or like going to church or, you know, like going to a funeral. I want to dress nicely for that stuff, so I will like put on something other than blue jeans, but like that's really the only thing that I do. Because other than that, like, I don't care if I have stylish blue jeans or not. I'm just like, as long as they're not like too skinny of jeans, I'll wear them. Like for shirts, like I just want it to be like a plain shirt. I don't like logos because I feel like that's like me advertising a brand and I don't like that. So I just want blank t-shirts. Yeah. I don't know. Like I don't care about like what other people think, which has, you know, has its negatives and positives, but you know, I try to not look like a slob. But other than that, I'm not going to put a whole lot of effort into my styling or fashion that I wear. It's more just like, is it comfortable? Like, I like sweatpants. I like shirts with sleeves on them. I like hooded sweatshirts. And I like warm, fluffy socks that keep my feet warm. Like, other than, like, I generally don't wear sandals or flip-flops because they're not comfortable. I'd rather have like running shoes. I'll just wear running shoes everywhere because they're comfortable on my feet.
I really like the idea of just having plain everything with no logos, any of that nonsense. I mean, I have like a Chucky t-shirt that I bought on a whim, but typically I honestly don't want attention brought towards me from strangers. Like, it's nice that they go, oh, hey, I like your shirt, and it strikes up a conversation or whatever, but I'm with you in terms of just, I like plain, like even when it comes to like polos or something, like, please just don't put that stupid little emblem here. Like, we don't need it.
Wait, what do you got on your shirt right now? You have something on. What is that?
It's a middle finger, Vince. Do you like it? No, this is an old work shirt.
I do like it because you explained to our listeners what you just did.
Yeah, that's why I did it. That's why I explained it. I'm totally with it now.
Oh my
god. So Dave, you think this fashion stuff has nothing to do with you? You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that ratty gray t-shirt, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't actually know is that t-shirt is not just gray. It's actually dark ash. You're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of gray ash gowns. And okay, sorry. I was doing the monologue from The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, okay.
I love
all that. I knew it was going completely over my head, but I'm like, I'm all here for it. Let's do this.
I was like, why does John start to sound like Meryl Streep? Well,
I thought you were going to start talking about like a sweatshop in Malaysia and all the kids who worked to make this clothing on my back.
No, I think they were pro sweatshop in that movie.
Oh yeah, for sure. Got to make that money.
Dave, you mentioned hoodies, man. I love a hoodie, right? That's fashion style. It's something that hasn't gotten out of vogue or whatever, you know. I have to say though, remember when blazer jackets came in to fashion? Men would wear blazer jackets over their t-shirts. I was into that. I had one. That was the only time I was like, I will join the world in looking like this, even though it was only around very shortly. Yeah.
I never had one, but I was always jealous of the guys who had one simply because they had that inside pocket where they could put their pack of cigarettes. I was like, that's a nice pocket right there. I wish
the rest of us got to roll up our sleeves and stash them there.
I show off my skinny chicken arms.
Well, I used to really like or at least cared about what I wore back in the day. My mom said that even when I was a baby, I would be very particular. She'd be like, oh, what about this? And I'm like, nah. And I wouldn't want to wear that. I'd wear this, you know. And I remember growing up, especially God, nearing high school and stuff, where I'm like, I don't like any of these clothes, you know. Either I was like, this isn't what's in style right now, or I just don't like how it looks on me. I really did care about that stuff. Now, not so much, especially these past 4 years working nights, where I'm like, I don't give a fuck who sees me, what I'm wearing, you know. And it's freeing, I guess, but I've have like no clothes. They're all bland and shit.
Can you do me a favor, and the next time I want a podcast with you, wear that coat? Do you still have it?
The blazer jacket?
Blazer jacket thing.
No, I don't. It's it went out of style. Like, I think it was pretty cool to wear for like a couple years.
A picture of you in one? I'd love to see it.
A picture? I don't think so. Yeah, I don't have a picture. Dang it. But okay, so here's another thing though. American Eagle is the only store, and I don't like to shop. Really, even though I like clothes, I don't like to shop. American Eagle had shirts that I liked that hung on me well. You know, I liked the jeans, you know, everything about that. I was like, this works for me. So I actually went to American Eagle more than I've ever gone to a particular clothing store. So I don't know if I can still wear that being a 39-year-old has been. So I don't know.
Did you guys used to wear a lot of khakis? I used to wear a lot of khakis, I realized, looking at old photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the khaki shorts with the cargo pockets?
Khaki pants. And then it always brings me back to this basketball quote where he's like, we got to get money, we get khakis, then we get the chicks. I wonder how me started wearing khakis because of that.
I owned a couple pair, but I worked at Target, so you had to wear like the red shirt and the khaki pants. So I owned a couple pairs of khakis just because of that, but I never wore it outside of work because I just viewed it as a work uniform.
Okay, again though, I'm thinking female fashion. Now that is what I like. Women have been just so pretty. Ever since I've been on this earth, you know, you see these things come and go, and they're great. You know, one of the greatest inventions of our time is the, you know, yoga pants / leggings. It's fantastic. I love it.
Gotta be exhausting though, like, to have to keep up with that stuff for women's fashion, because it like changes so much more than men's fashion does, and like they're expected to wear like a different dress to like different events and stuff, and all that stuff. Like, can't even.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like the amount of money that you'd have to spend, like, just on clothing alone, you know, with the shoes, and then if you're a girl, then your pants, and then your workout clothes or your leggings, like your casual wear, plus your tank tops, shirts, sweaters, hats. Oh my god.
And remember, women, fellas, they're not wearing it for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They wear it for themselves.
Themselves. All right.
All right. Segway challenge.
Segway challenge.
Let's slip into some other types.
All right. Okay, I got love, hate, and indifference. I love mental health awareness. I hate haircuts, and I'm indifferent to cats. What do you guys want to hear?
Well, we haven't heard of love yet, but I don't feel like mental health awareness is a fun topic. So let's talk haircuts, baby.
Now I'm interested why you feel so uncomfortable talking about health, mental health, so openly, but that's fine. We'll talk about haircuts. I fucking hate them. Hey, I grew up my
you
hair.
Need one, Vince. You need a haircut.
Yeah, I grew up my hair long. It's super long. It's almost to my ass. And
you ever stick it in the crack?
It's almost there.
Back and then stick it in the crack.
and then play it like a harp. Strum it like a harp. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I didn't like haircuts ever, really. For starting off in life, you know, growing are just Native American, you have very long fucking hair, right? And my mom was very traditional that way. So I'd be like, hey mom, I would like a haircut. People think I'm a fucking girl, you know? She's like, no, you're Native. Be proud of your heritage. Don't cut it off. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Didn't you have short hair as a teenager?
We're getting there, Scott. We're getting there, buddy.
So what's that? Shut the fuck up and let you talk. Gotcha.
So anyways, she would be like, I don't want you to cut your hair. And finally, I'm like, please, can I cut it? And she's like, okay, fine, we'll just shave it all off. And so I just had this completely shaved off bald head. And so then I'm like, oh, that's awkward. So I grow my hair out and it grows very quickly. My hair's always done that. And so when I would request a haircut, shave it all off once again. So it's like, there's got to be a nice middle ground. So finally, I think around my teenage years, I was like, okay, well, mom, I've worked, I mowed lawn. I can afford to buy my own haircut. And she's like, fine, be a white man. I'm like, oh gosh, this is not what that's about, but whatever. So you go to get your haircut and it's the awkward fucking conversation. It's just like, oh, so what are we doing today? Well, they're looking for lice in your hair. You know what I mean? And so it's trying to create
that part's normal.
Yeah, that's normal. I know that. But it's so it's just like, you know what they're doing when they're like, oh, so yeah. Anyways.
Lice. I think they're just getting your hair prepared.
No, like they put on the rubber gloves. They like they have a tweezer.
A special blue comb.
Okay. Anyways, it's like, you know, if you don't go to the same haircut person, you know, that's pretty rare, right? Even if you go to the same place, someone else is going to be there cutting your hair. Then you got to try and like strike up a conversation or whatever, you know, which is not my favorite thing to do. And then what I always hated was that they're like, so what do you want? It's like, what do I want? I don't know. You know, they're like, oh, pick out a picture. But I'm like, I don't know if that'll work for me because I have a particular shaped head, you know, and that's what they teach you in salon school. They're like, these go with this sort of face, you know, like I have a square like face. So like the same haircut on Dave, that fucking egg head over there. yours is more traditional shaped. I'm not saying it's egg. Yours is more traditional, Dave. Dave, your haircut.
Touching his face and pushing his hands around his head.
And Scott is comfortably laid back in his seat.
I'd rather be an egghead than a potato head. So
no, dude, no. I'm saying I'm jealous of that. I'm not. I don't envy. Yeah, this is a terrible head. This is huge. Like I said, I was talking about hats because it's too huge. I also can't wear glasses because my one ear is higher than the other. Sucks.
Why don't you just ask for the same person? Just ask to see the same person you went to last time and get like a bond with that person and just always ask for them and see when they're available. I've had the same barber for 5+ years and they cut, I found someone who just cut my hair so well and I like how they cut it. Recently cut, I'm showing it off, listeners, but currently not. And I just.
For the listeners, Scott is putting his non-egg-shaped head up to the camera and pointing at his hair.
Hey, there was this one time when I was watching the Battle of the Challenges podcast and your hair was longer and it was like swooshed over a bit. And I was like, that's a sweet look for Dave. And then now you don't have it. So just know I hate your face, Dave. No, I'm kidding. But for whatever, because I think I recall you saying you don't like your hair long either. And I thought it was a good look on you.
Yeah, I tried it out longer, like a year or two ago. And I just wasn't having it. But I've gone to the same barber for like the last 3 years. And I can honestly say we've never had like a conversation about anything.
Oh, wow.
It's just like, hey, how you doing today? Good. What are the numbers again? I'm like, you know, one on the side, five on top. All right. Oh. And then I just sit there in silence. He cuts my hair. And then I give him a, you know, I don't know, $25 or $28 if I'm feeling like a nice, giving him a good tip.
Do you prefer the not talking?
Yeah. He has, he's got good taste in movies. He always has like a movie playing on the wall. And like I was watching The Mask last time I got a haircut, and I'm just like laughing at The Mask, you know. It's great.
Well, anyway, back to your terrifying horror story of a haircuts that you had, Vince.
Oh, I'm just saying. Okay, so eventually, in my 20s, you know, I would get my hair cut, but again, it grows so fast. Like my, like no fucking joke, where it's like, what's the point? Like, even if I get a nice haircut, I'll have to come back pretty goddamn quick because it looks like I didn't after a while. And so that just got expensive and annoying. And before I grew it out, and it's been like 4 years now, I met a woman who would show up at your house and cut your hair. And that was pretty sweet. Like, but I don't know. I just decided to grow it out. Because again, it's just the cost. It's how often it happens. But outside of that, I think it's just a personal thing. I think if it didn't grow so much, I might enjoy haircuts more. But yeah, it's long now. I don't mind it. I like it.
I've adopted a 2-year cycle. Because it takes about that long for my hair to get long enough that I can donate it. So basically, I just get my hair cut, donate it, wait for it to grow back long enough to do that again, and cycle continues. So I'm 1 year in right now, so halfway there.
Yeah. So John, be sensitive, guys.
I don't know if you've ever looked at my hairline, John, but I am accepting donations.
What about Scotty Two Stacks over there?
Well, I mean, I used to do this whole thing where I would just let it grow for 5 months and it would get pretty long. And I've come to find out that I like it shorter, and people tend to like it shorter on me. So now I need to go probably a good every 6 to 8 weeks. I just hit about a 2-month mark where I just got it cut, and I'm very happy with it. But yeah, I pretty much wore my hair a bit longer my whole life and realizing, fuck, I should have been getting cut this whole time. I could have had sex with two people eventually.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's haircuts.
But cut buddy. This segment. Let's go to the next topic.
Segway. Let's cut this.
Cut this short.
Yeah. Oh, but not too long. A little off the top.
A little off the topic.
Oh, shit. Back to Scott.
Oh, boy. Back to me, huh, boys? You want to do the love or indifferent?
Yeah, one of those.
Wait a minute. You love making music and you're indifferent to chocolate milk. I am way more interested in you making music, young man. So let's hear about that.
Okay, dokie. Well, it all started when I was 16 and had a MTV music generator game on my PlayStation 1. It was a lot of fun arranging music and kind of doing that thing. By 20, my buddy had a MacBook with GarageBand. And ever since then, I've been kind of putting out an album and gear, just making all these beats myself, piano, synthesizers, drums, all that kind of nonsense. And then just writing lyrics, getting off the hurt, and varying quality. A lot of bad stuff, some decent stuff. Recently, I have a buddy who actually mixes music. So starting in 2022, the music actually sounds decently put together. So that was a good 14 years after starting putting out albums. But now they sound like of quality, and it kind of becomes like an obsession. I pretty much make music if I'm bored or get sad, because it kind of just takes my mind off the world. So I have I probably have hundreds of demos that are never going to see the light of day, nor should they, because a lot of them aren't great. I mean, if you've heard the stuff that I put out, you got to be like, oh boy, what's the shitty stuff. But it's really soothing to the soul. And honestly, like I said, it gets obsessive because I don't listen to a lot of music now. I'm constantly just making music and listening to the music that I make, because I mean, what better way to listen to music and like to just create it and then listen to what your own ears made so you enjoy it. So it's just this weird kind of, my music's called Forget Me. It started off as kind of like, you know, ex-girlfriend. Oh, boo-hoo. Just forget me then.
Yeah, but Scott, okay, now I've known about your musical career for a while, and I have one thing I always want to bring up and have. Is it
make it
two
better.
Words? No. Is it two words, forget me, or is it one word, forget me?
It is two words. There was a couple years where I kind of played with it just being like squashed together, but I got away from that. It's two words.
Okay. Are you so sure now?
Or iTunes, it's there. There's the past couple albums. I got two. I'm about to have a third come out on there. We did some acoustic tracks, me and my buddy, of the songs from those albums. It's a lot of fun. It's just so much fun to kind of be creative with someone because he puts a lot of input into the mix and adding certain elements that I would have never thought of. And it's fun to have that back and forth with somebody as opposed to just making it by myself these days. Because now it elevates it to a different level that it could have never become without his help.
So is he, I mean, so you, when you say adding parts, because I've always found it interesting, you know, in terms of songwriting, because like, you know, going back to Pink Floyd, Roger Waters wrote like most of the guitar and the drum and, you know, lyrics and all that stuff. Is he just like a session player?
I make all the music, write all the lyrics, sing all the songs. But recently I made a beat to where these bells were playing in the background the whole time with some organ on top of it. Now you don't necessarily hear the bells unless you're really trying to look for them or listen for them. But so he took a piece of those bells and put it at the very end of the song, which I would have never thought to do because it is a nice little bell melody. And he put it at the very end of the song. So it fades out to just the bells. That would have never happened had I not been working. Like collaborating with him. It's a small thing, but it's still a big thing in my mind because it just changes the ending. It maybe makes you a little more aware of the bells to where you probably would try to listen to him for the next time. He's good at acoustic guitar. I had a song where it was like this, it was GarageBand, so it was like their version of acoustic guitar, and he's like, let me just add guitar to it. And it just made it so much more alive. So these little things that he's able to help bring to Forget Me, it like is to me is and like just what's the word for valuable that it's like
it's I think invaluable. That's fun and yeah
it's just very valuable to me.
who are your musical inspirations?
Oh my gosh, so I grew up listening to a lot of techno. But then I kind of fell into the pop punk with Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, Jimmy Eat World, Blink 182. So I like kind of basic sounds. He's very intricate in what he does with his guitars. He's very like, and I'm like, no, let's just have like a repeating kind of sound that sounds nice. And then I do like lyrics that are like theirs. And then I'll have like one kind of phrase being repeated up here while I sing additional lyrics down here, which is very much like a Taking Back Sunday kind of feel. But there's a lot of repeating, not a lot, but there are sometimes where I would sing something and then layer it with another set of like maybe lower or higher vocals saying the same thing that I find is just like a fun way to, it's very catchy in a way, like pop punk is. But yeah, man, have you guys ever made music or been a part of that process? Because it's such a great feeling to start with nothing and then end up with something that you're just singing along with and you're just like put a smile on your face kind of thing.
Well, I think I sent you some of my little sketches and they're all like 30 seconds long or whatever. But those were so much fun to like, because I have a keyboard and there's, you know, all those little options. And you know, I grew up with a piano in the house, this big fucking heavy piano, but we barely played it because we were young and, you know, playing was just like, you know, hitting frantically on the keyboards, not really caring. But so I don't think I ever really got to ask my mom, like, hey, teach me some lessons and stuff. And she's like, yeah, there's a lesson. Don't hit my piano. but fiddling on the keyboard is like you said, Scott, just so much fun to go from nothing, you know. And I don't know chords. I don't know fucking the
No, I'm all
keys.
by ear. I don't
Oh,
know
really?
anything about that shit. I've just trained my ears to kind of go, I like the sound of that. And then I've made 15 albums or something with no knowledge of music whatsoever.
Okay, so but yeah, fiddling on that is fun. Have you performed live yet?
I have not performed in front of people to that degree. We did an acoustic set in my living room that we ended up putting out. That was kind of like my first playing and singing along with it. But I had, like, my memory's not great. Like previously mentioned, I had to have the computer in front of me with the lyrics to then be able to sing and listen to where he was at playing to know what my own lyrics are. So if I could do that in public, it'd be great, but it would probably look pretty weird.
What about you, Dave?
I think like 20 years ago or something or more, I rented at Blockbuster something for like PlayStation 2. It was like the Sony Music Maker or something. And I had it for like a week and it was really cool. I liked it. I tried to make like music, like songs, and then I was like, this is too difficult. I need something easier. So then I would try to make like video game music where it's just like weird sounds and beats. And then I found like the thing that I really like to make was like pro wrestler entrance music, where you could just like you just need like a good 25 seconds, and then you can just loop it over and over, and then that's like their entrance theme. So I would like make these pro wrestler entrance theme music, and then I would have my action figures, and I would like, you know, walking down to the ring, weighing in at 220 pounds, and I don't know. It would like I fondly remember that, like making stuff like that, and I've never done anything like it since. But I always remembered like knowing people who like, and you're obviously one of these people who like played one of those games and was like inspired by it, because like it had a huge fan base. And I remember like the early days of the internet, you know, in the year 2000. And just people raving about that game and all the things that they would create, and then they would upload it onto the internet for other people to listen to.
Yeah, it's a really sweet thing, because you could create your own stuff. You could use their loops, or you could literally go in and dissect, copy and paste the notes and move them. It's essentially what GarageBand is now. You can take any instrument, record whatever, and then just move the notes to where they're perfect and change it if you want to. I mean, I would love to know how to play an instrument, don't get me wrong, but this fills that spot, that itch for me. Scratches the itch.
For the listener, Scott was holding up his hands like he was tweaking someone's nipples.
It, I'm so sorry, listen. I'm so sorry.
John, you grew up with a piano in your house too, right?
Noodled around on that a bit. Actually, one of my memories of like a really fun night I had was at that DEF CON hacker conference I've gone to. After like the after parties and stuff, we a bunch of people ended up in this room that just had a piano in it. So we all like took turns sitting on there like two or three people at a time and just like improvising music together, like, you know, trying to make stuff that sounded good with three people playing at the same time. And that was a ton of fun. Other than
Nice.
that, I've never actually I've made up like a bunch of piano stuff that I'll just bang around on if I happen to be at one, but I've never like thought about actually recording anything or anything like that.
The world needs the John Nimitz Experience band.
The name of the band is still in progress.
What was I going to mention about? When I hear the band The Strokes, for some reason I'm like, if they can make music, I can make music. And that's not an insult by any means. I just mean I can hear what they're doing. Like, you know, they clearly thought of this little thing that sounds good, and then they just put that shit on a loop, and they do that a lot throughout all their songs, where I'm like, I think I could do this. And again, it's not an insult. It's just like, hey man, I want to bang away on instrument. Also, when I listen to, this is a deja vu, where we listen to Tom Waits, that sort of playfulness with the instruments was like, I could fucking do this as well. Or it made me want to pick up my keyboard and start doing shit, you know? Yeah, it's fun. Oh, and
another
also,
deja vu.
Yeah.
Scott, how would you feel if somebody sampled your music and then used it for their own creation?
You know, they would probably get some more views than I would, so at least my music would be getting out there.
You're a musical cuck. Come on, you gotta stand up for yourself.
And I would say, no! Stop it! That's mine! Give it back! Get it out of there! That doesn't belong there! I mean, what can I do? I'm just some random little artist. Like, I could literally do nothing. I would be like, oh, but that was mine.
All right. Well, a segue challenge.
Let's beat this drum to a new beat, or I don't know why. I'm the worst at it.
Let's beat this drum like we're beating a dead horse.
I think it's John. Take it to the bridge.
All right. I love the video game series Overcooked. It's like very simple in concept. You're, you know, like this little cartoon guy running around in a kitchen just trying to like cook these dishes and put them out for ordering for the customers or whatever. It's a game that's best played and like probably only ever played. Like, I'm sure there's some psychotic people out there who play single player, but it's like really meant to be like a cooperative game. It's like a chaos co-op kind of thing. So like you just have a short amount of time to make a lot of dishes. They, you know, they put up on the screen like, oh, you need to make, like, let's say you're making pizzas or something, and they're like, this one just needs cheese. This one needs mushrooms and onions. This one needs mushrooms and sausage. And you just have to like create them, put them out in the right order. But
can
you're
make pizzas in that game?
Can you what?
Do you eventually make pizzas in that game?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Cause I just happened to be at my friend's house and his wife bought the game while I was there, and we played four players on it.
This, oh, that's awesome.
Sunday. It was so fun.
Yeah. But like the gimmick is like, so you're a lot of times like you'll be locked in an area and you only have access to like, okay, I have access to the cutting boards and I can serve stuff, but someone else has access to get to the ingredients and to, you know, to cook them or whatever. So you have to like pass stuff back and forth. You have to like coordinate. You know, it's like, I need you to be chopping these onions so I can fry them so you can serve them. And like my wife and I have played like every single level of Overcooked 1 and Overcooked 2 and like all the bonus levels. And we're just like shouting at each other, like, I need some fucking lettuce. Where's the fucking lettuce? Like,
you have to do that though, because if you don't, it becomes chaos. Yeah. Like, hey, you stay in this lane, I'm going to be over here.
Oh my God, why are there tomatoes everywhere? Like, there's all this like, stuff.
I need three onions, not three mushrooms. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So it's really like an actual kitchen. Like, I always hated that, but it seems so fucking stressful.
It is. It's tough. Levels, each level creates these different obstacles. Sometimes the board moves. One level that we played, the floor rose up with the cooking stuff up here and the chopping stuff down here. the dishes, the sink was down here because you have to do the dishes after you send them through to customers. So
yeah, fun. And then, like, someone get really crazy, like you have to like get in a cannon and someone has to like push a button to like shoot you to a different area where you can get different ingredients, and like just insane.
If do you ever get, you know, what do you call it, take backs where like, hey, this steak isn't cooked enough, so you rub it on your balls? Can you do that?
That's probably coming in Overcooked 3, I imagine.
David, let me warm up that French toast for you.
That's good.
So it's not like, I thought it might be like Chopped, where like you have to do a dish competing against someone, but no, it's just like a very realistic kitchen scene.
I mean, realistic in that, you know, you move an onion onto a cutting board and you hold a button down and it chops it. And then, but
you're just making onion soup for everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I but never.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Another dynamic is if you leave something on the burner too long, it will start on fire and the fire will spread throughout the kitchen. So every level has like a fire extinguisher in it so that like you can put it out, and then you have to like dump the burnt food and like start over. And
well, I never played this.
You yelling at your wife, the kitchen's on fire.
Oh my gosh. You guys say something. I can't hear a thing.
Can't or won't.
Oh, Jesus. You guys were so quiet. I was like, something happened to my audio again. Because it was happening before. Sorry. Okay, so yeah, I didn't play this game, but I like that show Chop, so. What's that?
Is it just for the Switch, or is it on other platforms as well?
Oh, it's on a lot of stuff, yeah. But definitely probably most popular on the Switch, just because like you can pass out four of those little Joy-Con controllers and play on that, because you only need like three buttons and the arrow keys.
Segway challenge. There's so much silence.
This topic is overcooked. We need to move on.
I think Dave's up next.
Yeah, okay. So my love is organ donors. I don't know. Weird transition, but
I ordered the liver well done.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't have a whole lot to say on the topic other than like when you go to the DMV and you're getting your driver's license, they're like, hey, do you want to be an organ donor? And my thought is like, just say yes. Like, because when it's your time to donate your organs, you're going to be dead. So why not do a little bit of good on your way out the door? So I think, I don't know. I've heard from certain people that they don't want to donate their organs because they're like, oh, I don't like that idea. That's weird. It's like, what do you mean? You'll be dead when it happens. But they don't like it. And I've had like coworkers say that they would never do it. And then I had to like pry at them. I'm like, why do you not want to do it? Why do you not want to do it? And they would never give me a straight answer. And then I finally got one person to admit why they didn't want to be an organ donor.
And you might
get. Well, some people are paranoid that once a doctor knows that you're an organ donor, they're going to try and do what they can to kill you so they can harvest your organs and sell your organs on the black market. And I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't doubt that maybe in other countries and like a third world country, if somebody needs a kidney, they might snatch you in an alleyway and cut it out of your back or something. I don't know. You know, crazy shit happens. But I don't believe that like medical hospitals in the United States are harvesting organs of people. All right. I think that's kind of ridiculous.
I like the idea that there's a doctor who's like willing to let people die and sell their organs on the black market, but like, we'll look at their driver's license like, oh, they didn't check the box. I can't do it for them.
Well, yeah, some moral compass. Duh.
I just checked mine. Apparently I am a donor, so please don't kill me, doctors.
Yeah, I'm an organ donor as well. You, John? Do you fit in?
I not only am I donating my organs, but I have bequeathed my body to the University of Minnesota after I die.
Wow, he's or truly whatever, crossed over. He used to be a Wisconsin man.
Want to do.
Sorry. Okay, so yeah, it's all going to Minnesota.
Yeah, like the University of Chicago or something. He donated his body to science because my mom had to like tell me why we weren't going to his funeral to like and seeing a casket like with his body in it. And they're like, no, it belongs to the university now.
Then they're poking it with sticks. Oh, interesting. Stick this body.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, like, this is more so other universities, but like some of the research that gets done is like, let's just like put these bodies in different types of like outdoor environments and see how long it takes them to decompose. And then, like that's like the research they're doing. Cause like
in a tree.
It's helpful for solving crimes. Cause like, okay. In like a bog, it takes this long to reach this level of decomposition, but in like a dry desert, it takes a different amount of time. So
what do you prefer, John, being put in a bog or in the desert?
I mean, I know you'll be dead, but
you play along.
I guess I'd go desert.
Yeah, he has more chance of vultures coming along.
Oh man, there was a podcast episode about burial by vulture or whatever, where they put you up in, this is in India with a certain religion, they built these towers and put people up there, and the idea was they would get eaten by vultures. But now there was this new, like, not ibuprofen, but some sort of like over-the-counter painkiller that people were giving to animals, or maybe even people were taking, and the vultures would eat those animals and get sick from it and die. So now there's like not enough vultures anymore for this religion to do their weird, I shouldn't say weird, but their burial in air or whatever you call it.
Holy shit. Okay, well, I have to mention that I not only would I donate, I mean, you know, I'm signed up, but I am eternally thankful for whoever donated their liver to my sister. She had to get a liver transplant recently. And it was crazy because they're like anonymous. Like you can't know who did it. And isn't that kind of weird though? It's like, I don't know. I wanted to thank that person, although apparently he was like brain dead or whatever in the hospital. But I kind of wanted to shake his vegetable hand. I don't know. I was just like really like, thank you, sir, for helping, you know. But I kind of wish that we could know. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know there was that secrecy around it.
Yeah. I don't know. It would be like, I don't know. I think that should be allowed. Or maybe you can write that down when you or before you pass away. You're like, hey, let it be known this is Vincent's
secret choice. As part of me, I don't like the idea of, I mean, I like the way it is of not knowing. I feel like that's better for everyone involved. I can see where you're coming from, but I do like the idea of them being able to go, yeah, just tell them who I was if they want to visit my grave or some shit, tell them to stop by, pour a little beer on me or something. Leave some flowers.
Here on Tuesdays.
All right. Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think of like people telling stories about they got a organ transplant and then they started to take on characteristics, and then those characteristics turn out to be you know, something that the other person was like.
Is there really stories about that stuff? I've heard it in like The Simpsons when Homer got that dude's hair transplant. It's like, right, now I'm gonna rob. But that's all.
I have heard of there being stories like that, but I did not lend a lot of credence to them.
All right, segue challenge. Let's remove the heart of this topic. Throw it on the ground. Me? Is it up? Me?
Yeah, you.
All right. Well, let's
do
love or indifferent. I love mental health awareness. Indifferent to cats.
Indifferent.
All right. I am indifferent to cats. Now, this isn't, and this is, I'm going to try not to do this, and I encourage you guys not to do this. This isn't about comparing it to dogs. This is just cats, okay? Because that's the one fucking thing. That might be another thing, just cat culture or cat people, right? But we're talking about cats themselves. Now, I've owned cats before, and they're, you know, they could be awesome. Yeah, they can have just as much personality as dogs. You know, you get to know them and stuff.
But we're not comparing them to dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, shit. Damn it. Well, what I'm saying is they can be just, you know, not all cats are the same. You know, some cats are fucking bitches. You know, as Robin Williams said, they're drag queens. Who loves Kitty? Are those your shoes? Blah. They're just, you know, full of attitude. Like, they're so indifferent to you. Like, they don't need you there. And, you know, they could be very much like that. And I've never really cared for that. You know, there's people who like their cats that way because they're like, oh god damn, I almost compared it. But they love to compare the difference, you know? But it's like, okay, but what do they do for you? It's not like they'll protect you. If you die, they'll eat you, you know? And that's the other thing. It's the weird things with cats where, like, their shit is bad, you know? Most things, shit isn't good around you, but theirs in particular is pretty bad for you if you're around it enough.
Toxoplasmosis.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's that weird parasite that, like, gets into mice and makes them like daredevils, and then basically with the goal that they'll then get eaten by the cat and the cycle continues.
That's so fucked up. Cat scratch fever. I just like the song.
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent fan.
Actually, I'm more of a Stranglehold fan than Cat Scratch, but okay. And then there was that thing where, like, not on purpose, but they suffocate babies. Perhaps you guys heard about that. You know, they kind of sit around and it just kind of happens. I don't think they mean to at all, but that has happened. I think it was alluded to.
The baby of the family. Pillow. Yeah.
It was alluded to in Lady and the Tramp, right? With the Siamese cats. I think that was the danger, right?
I think there was a character in Catch 22 who was suffocated by his cat. And I remember our buddy Jesse talked about he had that cat out in the woods where he lives, and he'd wake up and it's like on his face.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well then it's not just an old wives' tale or whatever. Like I said, I think I've heard of that.
Playing really loud.
Yeah. He's like, there was no clothespins available, so I had to do it myself. Okay, and then,
Well, I was going to say, like, not to compare cats to dogs again, but I'll compare cats to dogs. If you're going to go out, wouldn't you rather, like, die peacefully in your sleep than to be, like, ripped to shreds by, like, a vicious dog? I'd rather just have a cat lay on my face.
If you have to die by, oh my god. All right.
You had to choose one. One is more preferable.
Yeah, but there's no tales of dogs eating people like that, you know? God. Okay, well.
Kids die every year from, like, dog attacks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We are not comparing it to dogs. God damn it. Stop trying to move it. Okay. Cat hair. I can't stand it. It's so fine and so thin. I had a cat hair on my eyeball. I was like, why am I itchy? And I looked in the mirror. I'm like, there it is. And I peeled it off. That's so annoying. It gets everywhere. The cat that I know is awesome, but like so goddamn needy. And she wasn't needy at first. You know, where I work overnights and I did it for a couple of years. And then she shows up and all of a sudden, you know, and she was cool. But then someone was like, hey, this cat could go outside or go in the basement. And now she just whines to go outside and then whines to come back in and like an hour later. And it's just, she never fucking sleeps during the night unless I say, go to sleep. This is a
At
smart
first,
cat, by the way.
you sounded like Edward Norton complaining about Marla Singer in Fight Club, and then she came along.
And the cat's like, I haven't been fucked like that since sixth grade or whatever. Okay, and then a super annoying. There's a bald spot of food in the dish, and she's like, there's no food. I'm like, there's fucking food, you crazy ass cat. Just brush the food into the spot where there's no food.
This is starting to sound more like a hate.
Again, okay, yes. See, there's so
Sounds like
many
a
things.
personal vendetta.
It's no, these aren't personal. These are universal things. People that have experienced this with cats is what I'm getting at. Again, I love animals, you know? I'm not trying to rag on cats because I know plenty of cat lovers out there. There's a lot of potential ladies who love cats, so I'm not going to diss them too bad because, you know, I got to invest. But like
The ladies are going to hear this podcast and go, oh, he just has a cat because he wants to fuck us.
not at all. All right.
That's why he showed me all those cat pictures the other day. Trying to get my pussy.
Yeah, I showed you mine. All
Yeah.
right. Okay, so and then the fucking, you know, oh, they're like, oh, but Egypt worshiped them. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure cats were like, yes, worship us. There's a really shitty attitude when it comes to cats, man. I don't know. What do you guys think about cats?
I
I feel
relate to
like
cats
Egypt.
because they also hate cucumbers.
Don't
They
they think
do?
they're snakes or something, right? They freak the fuck out.
They're like terrified and they'll jump 4 feet in the air.
Exactly.
Dave, what's your cat's name?
Cleo and Roger.
Oh, you've
Does he
got
have
two.
three?
Yeah. Mr. Kitty. We adopted Mr. Kitty.
We don't talk about the third one.
He doesn't even have a real name.
Mr. Kitty's pretty cool.
Well, his
Cleo.
name was Kitty, so I just put a mister on the front of it.
Nah, Kitty, this is my Popeye.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a mental health awareness. I'm just trying to like make him feel important around here.
Assigning him a gender? Terrific.
Kitty, nice of you to join us.
Oh, Mr. Kitty.
This
Okay, well, Dave, you
one of
obviously like him.
them. Yeah, I like cats. I mean, but there's stray cats and there's feral cats, and then there's, you know, just your general shitty
My
cats.
God, Dave, don't be alarmed. There's somebody in the house with you. I just saw him in the background. I saw a silhouette of somebody in the fucking background. Be careful. They opened the door just a bit. It might have been a
I'm
cat.
alone right now. There's no one in my house.
Ah.
I don't know what
For you listeners, there is indeed a silhouette behind Dave that just appeared. So Scott's not lying.
It's certainly probably my cat. It's Mr. Kitty, I'm sure.
Upright on its hind legs.
He's doing his, he works from home. He does, has a lot of, you know, business dealings he works
Tied
on.
his fur back into a ponytail.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, okay, so like with the Egyptians and the cats, like in my head, I always like thought like, oh, it's just like, you know, how farmers have barn cats. Like, I'm sure the pyramids had lots of mice running around, so they needed the cats in there to like get rid of the mice.
I could see that.
John, you were indifferent to pets.
Better explanation? No.
9. John, you said you were indifferent to pets before. What do you think about cats?
Well, I'm indifferent to them.
Gotcha on that.
I think there's a lot of funny cat videos online, but I don't want to take care of one.
Have some of these things that I've said come off as universal truths about cats, and it's not just me hating on a cat?
I think even cat lovers think that their cats are assholes, and that's part of why they love them.
Thank you, John. Oh my God. Okay, so I said before, there's girls who are like, oh my God, I'm a cat lady or future cat lady or whatever.
I'm gonna change. It's gonna be a nice kitty from here on out. I'm gonna get that asshole changed.
I'm gonna change. No, I think it's more like, you're like, hello, you bitch. You know, like when stupid girls get together, like, oh, you whore. Chill that, you know. And they're like, the girls have, and they'll admit it. They have girls that like are friends that they're, you know, they don't necessarily like, but they are friends. They're very catty with each other. They feel comfortable being treated that way by humans. So yeah, they'll fucking, of course, it's like, oh, it's familiar coming from a cat. You know, I just think it's, I don't care for it. It's too catty.
Yeah. Like I agree with what you're saying, that one of the like best parts about a cat is their indifference to you. Like they don't love you. They don't hate you. You know, sometimes they'll snuggle up for a little bit and want to lay next to you, but most of the time they just want to be left alone. But that's like, that's the plus side of it, is like, I don't ever feel guilty because like I'm gonna be gone for a week, my cat's gonna miss me, like my cat's gonna be fine without me, like I don't have to be guilty about it at all. But like with other animals, I won't say what, they're a little more needy, like emotionally needy, and like I can't handle that neediness because I'm not going to live up to those standards that they're putting in front of me.
My buddy has 3 of those other pets, and they are constantly up behind, nonstop every time. Like if he stands up, they're like, "Where are we going?" Just constantly trying to lick you. Fuck, pets are.
Can these animals be seen in Clinton Folk with Beer?
Maybe
podcast on Scott Allwood's channel, where you could also
there's a moment in this last episode where we're having a conversation and just suddenly these other animals are like in the background, and it's fucking bonkers. But yeah, Clint Folk with Beer podcast, we tell weird news, we talk about weird news stories, we see a headline, we don't talk about it or read it until we're on the show. It's pretty fun.
Yes. Can I get that in audio format?
No. You got to put up with looking at our faces.
All right. Spell the name of it. Clinton Folk with Beer.
Yeah. C-L-I-N-T-O-N.
Yeah. Basically Bill Clinton. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, man. Is that the show? I think we all...
Hey, some of us are indifferent to chocolate milk, you dickhead.
We were going to cover all the topics.
Yeah, I still have a topic as well.
Well, it's been like 1 hour and 30 minutes. I don't think people want us to continue. They're like, yeah, we've heard enough.
Yes. All right. Yeah, well, we could do that. Like, subscribe, comment. Also, go to afewgoldilockbears.com for all your afewgoldilockbears.com. Needs. And this was Bits of Cloud.
Cut that and print it. We're good to go.
And I'm www.afewgoldilockbears.com.
John Nemitz.
John.
He forgot his name. It's fine.
And David Lauer.
And
right. We are done.